Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy, only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast. I'm your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And I'm really excited about the topic we're going to talk about today, because today we're going to talk about video marketing, but not just video marketing, but video marketing specifically for service-based small business owners. And I know there's a lot of you out there who are listening right now that fall into that category. So we're going to kind of deep dive a little bit today. And I'm really excited because the person who we have today is somebody that I've had several conversations with. She is so knowledgeable and so generous as well with her zone of genius. So let me tell you a little bit about her. So Nina Froreep has seen it all from the early 90s on independent features to big national TV commercials, corporate mega shows, and Emmy award-winning documentary films, including one she produced and directed called Abraham's Children. Today, she's super excited to work with and enable business coaches to grow their businesses with consistent and easy to implement video content so that they can attract their ideal clients. And that's what it's all about, right? Is really attracting and converting those ideal clients. So Nina, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thanks for having me.
I love it. So let's get ready to dive in. And here's the thing. I always love to say we didn't wake up this morning and say, you know what? I think this is what I want to do, right? You know, we kind of have a journey, right? And sometimes it kind of meanders, right? But what was the aha moment in your journey, in your adventure, so to speak, that made it that you knew video marketing was what you wanted to do, how you wanted to serve, how you were going to show up? Like, what led you to that? What was that defining moment for you?
Probably about 5 years ago. I've had my production company for over 24 years. And it became very, very apparent to me that the old models of doing business were no longer valid. Anybody with a smartphone in their back pocket had a perfectly fine studio at their fingertips. And my business, the way I had been running it to that point, just didn't exist anymore because people expected to get video for a tenth of the price than what they've been willing to pay only a couple of years prior. So, and then the second realization was that I needed video to promote myself. And I figured, you know, piece of cake, I'm a filmmaker, you would think so, until I realized that creating video for myself is a very different ballgame than having a budget of $100,000, a crew of five, and delegating. So very quickly, you know, I went on this journey to create the videos for myself. The first videos I created were beyond awful. They looked good, but they were awful. But they were awful in terms of content. They were awful in terms of how I showed up and all of that. And as I was going through this journey, and for me, the learning curve was very quick because I am a filmmaker. So at least I was within my area of expertise. I just was learning how to shoot myself, how to show up, how to, you know, show up on without, you know, being looking weird on camera. And I was like, wow, I mean, this experience, I'm not the only one having this experience. Every small business owner has this experience, especially service-based providers, because they are the product, right? If you have a bakery or you have a bike store or you run a grooming salon for dogs, you have great material to put on social media to show people who it is you are and what you do. But if you are an accountant, if you are an insurance broker, if you are a coach, if you are a consultant, you are the product, right? I mean, you can't really show books that you've done nice, right? First of all, you can't show them. And second of all, nothing to look at. So you become the person that people want to work with. And, you know, I've heard this say many times, and I'm going to repeat it. People work with people. They don't work with websites or with ideas or with concepts. They want to work with people. So showing business, service-based businesses, how to show up on video in an easy and in a fun and in a light and in a non-threatening way has really become such a passion for me because I've had to go through it. It pisses me off like nothing when people pay thousands of dollars for videos that they could be doing themselves. So for me, I really love the idea of being able to enable people to discover video for themselves and be able to use it such that they actually see a return on investment. They actually see conversion happening out of the videos. And there's a couple of just simple things that you need to know, and there's practice, practice, practice behind it. And that's what I love to do with my clients.
I love that. Because, you know, I think that, like you said, like, I love your example where you talk about, you know, what they used to spend. I mean, that really goes back to, I remember when people spent hundreds of thousands getting a website and now WordPress, right? You know, so there was a lot of different things, and that has shifted, which is a good thing, right? Not to say in everything, there are times to have this professional video done and edited and all that. For sure, it is, right? But I think that in the last, say, 2 years-ish, that Facebook Lives and different things have actually opened the door. Not, I'm not going to say for amateur, but more for authentic, right? Because like what you said, people don't want to do business with a logo. They want to do business with a person. And now more than ever, video allows people to see who you are. So I always like to say in marketing that when people are aware of a problem they have, and then they're interested in solving that problem, and now they're in evaluating who is the right person for me. Well, now they need to get to know you. They need to know, like, oh yeah, you can have all these credentials and all this alphabet and all these titles, right? But what they really want to know is, are you my person? Like, do you get me? Like, do we have the right vibe? And video, and specifically short video, like what you're talking about, really allows them to actually step into your world a little bit and really be able to see what working with you would really be like. Yeah. But I also feel like the shift has also happened where the perception was that everything had to be perfect, right? You had to do all these things or you weren't really an expert. But now I think we've come full circle and people really realize that, yes, there's a time and a place for that. But what I really want to know is if we were working together and we're on Zoom or we're sitting across from the table or whatever, what is that really going to be like for me? And is there a way for me to go a little bit behind the scenes and show me your world? And this is the way to do it. And so I absolutely love that. And I'm really glad that we're going to kind of deep dive into that. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Before we do that, I always like to say that it's just as important to know what not to do as it is to know what to do, right?
Totally agree.
You know, so Nina here is going to shorten your learning curve and we're going to like exponentially increase your ROI if you implement some of the things she says, but let's talk about some of the things you shouldn't do. So what is probably the single most biggest mistake with video that you see people make?
It very often is the first question I'm being asked, which is what camera should I buy? And the reaction for me with that is always, it's just not the right question, right? The camera, the equipment, the apps, all of that is not even secondary, it's tertiary. What you really, really want to be asking yourself is, what kind of content would attract the ideal clients I want to work with? What call to action do I want to have at the end of the video that will have people do what I want them to do? It's really simple. In a way, even generic marketing questions you're asking yourselves. And the vessel just happens to be video, right? So, you know, I had a gentleman on a couple of weeks ago. He wanted to talk to me, believe it or not, about focal length of lenses. And I was like, I don't even know why I'm having this conversation. Sure, I can talk about focal lengths until the cows come home, but that's not the point. The point is you have a smartphone or you have your desktop or your laptop, and you want to make sure that you look good enough that people recognize you, that you come across not as some mass murderer that people don't want to encounter in the dark in an alley somewhere, that people can hear you, and that it's, not a distracting background. But other than that, it's really all about your content and about sharing and showing off what is that you can do for others, right? Because we're all coming from a service mindset, and we're not coming from a, I'm selling to you and I want all these bells and whistles and I want graphics flying around and I want this, that, and the other. It's really not needed. It's really not needed. You want to focus.
I love on that.
Content. Yeah.
I have to tell you, when I was on your website, this verbiage you had on your website made me laugh, but it was so profound. Like sometimes people will say something and you'll chuckle, right? I know when I say things, sometimes we're saying it for effect, right? But this one really did it for me and I just have to share it. So it says, having video as part of your marketing strategy isn't an option anymore. You either have it or you're totally screwed. Like, I love that, right? It's like, oh, or you're totally screwed. Like, I just love that, right? Because video really should be part of your marketing strategy, right? And so I think it is really important. So let's kind of dive into that, right? Because I have to tell you, I remember when I first decided to do video and I hired someone, I didn't know you at that time, and I decided to hire a professional and they were like, okay, Patty, you need to have an explainer video and an introduction video. And I had this whole list of all these like five kinds of videos I need to make sure that I did first. And then they were like, oh, you can't even have a landing page unless it has a video, and you can't have this without a video, and you can't have that without a video. And I was super overwhelmed.
Yep.
And so then I was like, okay, I didn't hire that person. And then I found another person and I told them, this is several years ago. And I was like, well, I'm a professional speaker, but I don't want people to be thinking that, wow, right? This is who Patty is behind the scenes, right? Because people tell me all the time, Patty, who you are on stage is who you are when I meet you. Like, this is who you are. And I really stay true to who that is. And so, of course, you want that to be on video too, right? I am not the person you're going to see in a soap opera dress. That isn't me, and it's never going to be me. Yeah. And so I feel like video gives you the opportunity for people to realize that, you know what, if somebody else wants to wear soap opera dresses all the time, like I like to call them, and that is who they are, they're probably not going to want to work with me. Yeah. And what an easy way in 2 minutes or less to find that out, because we're not for everybody, right? Yeah. So when we're thinking about that, you just mentioned a few minutes ago that those weren't the right questions and that the question is about content. But can we go a little bit deeper? What are some other questions that people should be asking themselves before they start, like, about that? Like, so when you're thinking about content and who you want, but there's a lot of content.
Yep.
Right. Yep. So kind of, can you break that down a little bit? Like, what are some of the things they should be thinking about first before we kind of dive into this?
So, content is so massive of a topic. You skid the cat from any which way. So what I normally do with my clients to get them just into the mode of doing, and, yes, it's lovely to have that explainer video. It's lovely to have the This Is About Us video. I always feel those videos can come down the road a little bit. Let's first sort of get into the habit of being on camera, getting used to hearing our voices and seeing our, faces on the screen without freaking out. So very often what I'll say is like, okay, let's think of a simple series that we can create. Series are great because then you can shoot several videos at once. If one doesn't fly, you can try another one, because sometimes we just get hung up on a sentence or on a topic or on a word. So I like to have sort of a little bit of diversity. And the easiest way to get about content is to say, okay, most of us service providers have a so-called lead magnet. I don't know whether your audience is familiar with the word, but it's a white paper people can download. It has tips. So why don't you take that and let's say it's Nina's 10 top tips how to survive video marketing. That's 10 videos right there. Each tip can be a video, because the videos that you do put on social media, they're not supposed to be much longer than 60 seconds. Maybe you can get away with 90 seconds. The numbers I'm seeing is that the videos that are 30 seconds and less are the ones that get the most clicks or opens. And 30 seconds is pretty tough to do and be informative. But if you can do a lead magnet content series, or if you have an FAQ section on your website, or you just normally have the same couple of questions that people ask you about your program, about how it is to work with you, or you know what your advice is, et cetera, make those into videos. And again, don't put all 10 FAQs or all 10 of your top tips into one video. Each of them is a video.
Because no one's going to want to. I know that when I first started doing my videos, I was kind of hung up on that. Because, you know, I think that if you've been in business for a while, you have a lot of content in your head, right? So you got to be thinking, oh my gosh, like what should I be doing, right? You know, and so one of the things I did, actually, I did a couple things. First thing I did was somebody suggested to me, and it was actually a really good idea. They said, you know what, Patty, you're pretty known for those quotes of the day that you do every day. How do you pick them? And so I did this whole video series several years ago that was like behind the quote of the day. Mm-hmm. And basically it was just me sharing the quote of the day and what was going on in my world that made me pick that. Why did it resonate with me? Right. And what was the value that I got from it and thought maybe they could too. So that's what I did first. And that worked really well. Yep. And then after that, what I did and kind of still do right now is whenever I'm a speaker, as I know a lot of people who are listening to this are, every time I do my presentations and I get done doing my presentation, I go back and look at it. And pretty much every slide in that presentation is a video. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do the whole presentation. You're just doing that one slide.
Snippets. Yeah, exactly.
And I think that works, that it's not overwhelming. And you're like, oh, because I mean, when you're looking at that slide right now, we're in a virtual world where a lot of us are virtually speaking. Oh, well, guess what? When you see your slide, you talk, right? And you're not talking for 10 minutes, right? You know, what are you sharing about that? And getting very clear and concise and succinct on that, I think is good enough.
Absolutely. And, you know, a word of caution, and it's something I actually just discovered about myself. I am reshooting a whole series of videos because we're shifting ever so slightly our focus. And I was revisiting the quiz videos that I created, which we'll talk about a little later, the quiz that is. And I listened to the videos. I'm like, holy schmoly, I'm super serious and I'm super intellectual. And yeah, the video is only a minute and 5 seconds or so. So it's a good length, but I'm listening to it. I'm like, I'm falling asleep on myself. This is terrible. So I have to reshoot it anyway. So I'm like, oh, thank God I have the opportunity to reshoot. And I think we sometimes tend to want to, you know, make sure that people take us seriously as the expert, as a thought leader, as a speaker, as a person who will be the right person to invite for your keynote or whatever, or maybe even a TED Talk. And we get sort of caught up in our own importance and seriousness. And that is something that I want to, you know, caution against, that, you know, you want your content to be really quickly digestible and memorable. And it'll be that if you should keep it super short and super simple.
I like that. So I know that you talk a lot about how easy it could be to get to consistent content mm-hmm. and how to never run out of content.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that, because I'm sure that one of the biggest things that people right now are thinking, reading your mind, right? I'm reading their mind right now, right? You're thinking, oh, I know, but I don't know how much content I have. Or if I tried to be consistent, how often should I do it? Because I don't want to run out of content, which I think is something people do. So let's talk about that. How can they never run out of content?
Great question. And two answers, right? So the one of it is the actual content, and the other one is the running out of it and the consistency part and how often. So in terms of just pure content, and that's why I have my clients often start with a little series. So let's say we have a lead magnet series, and then maybe we'll do an FAQ series. What happens is the moment you are on social media regularly and consistently posting, there's an ecosystem that you're entering. And that ecosystem is not you just pushing out to the world. That is also the world coming into you, which is how you're connecting and converting with your clients. And the moment that happens, you will never, I promise you, ever, ever, ever run out of content, because people will ask you questions. People will interact with your videos. you will be watching their videos because you're now connecting with people that you want to eventually hopefully convert into your being your client. So you will be watching their content. That will give you new ideas. And I remember in the fall of 2019, I joined a professional LinkedIn pod. And from that moment on, I never had to worry about content ever again, because I'm posting and I'm looking at 15 other people's posts every day. I mean, in the meantime, a VA does it for me. But there's a never-ending plethora of content. And again, if you can't figure it out, like, so if you have a, let's say you run a class, so you have a program, that program might be what? Maybe 4 hours worth of content. You break that down into 30 or 60 second snippets and you adjust for, you know, changes, you know, with social media, with the marketing strategies, whatever you do, that's each time a video and then a new video when something has changed. So there's really never a lack of content. Now, being consistent, it depends a little bit on your sales cycle. If you're selling something that is fairly inexpensive and people can buy just like that, like we used to have a challenge that we did every other month, it was a $300 investment. And we had people post video every single day for a month. So that was a very quick sales cycle. It was inexpensive and people just could sign up. There was no call with me or anything to qualify or to see whether they were a good fit. For that, we would post video for about 3 weeks, nearly every day, Monday through Friday. However, if I'm inviting people into my one-on-one, which is my high ticket thing, a program, I would say one video every 2 weeks is enough. And, you know, the middle of the road, my group thing, you know, once or twice a week, I'll post about that. So it really depends on your sales cycle, on how long it takes you to bring somebody in. The longer it takes, the less videos you get away with. But I would say if you want to invest in video, post at an absolute minimum once a week. And that's only, and I say that only from my point of view, that's only 52 videos a year. That is not a huge amount. That's not a huge amount of content. That's 50 times, that's like 50, an hour worth of content. That's not that much. And especially if you start creating them three or four or five at a time. And as you get better, you're like, I can do up to 9 at this point. I can tell at the 7th, I'm fizzling out a bit. But, you know, as you do more video, you'll get better with it. And I have clients who just talk for an hour and then they give it to an editor and the editor finds little quotes that are usable. I mean,
see, now that's really, really smart too. Yeah. I know for me, when I do my video, like here's something people are going to be like, Patty, I noticed that about you. So I love the color black. It's like my favorite color. People say, do you always wear black? I'm like, till they come up with something darker, but I love the color black. And so what I do is I know I need color. So I always wear, when I'm doing videos, a black shirt. And then I wear my brand colors, which are teal and purple, as most of you know, in a necklace or a scarf or like something like that. So I always do have color. And I, when I do my videos, I just have like, people won't see it, but I'll have all my necklaces or whatever, like sitting in front of me. And so in between them, I just change my necklace or put a scarf on it. Yeah, and do something. I got the black shirt on and I just switch it up, right? So they're not doing it. And I mean, it is so really so much easier to really be able to do that, right? And I think it just makes a lot of sense. Like, make it easy. Yeah, and I think that once you get into the flow, but I really do love the idea of being able to just record it and having somebody chop it up. I have to tell you, one of the most interesting things, and mind you, probably one of the most engagement pieces that have ever happened. I didn't even do it myself. So kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. That somebody who wrote for my magazine, who wrote an article, and she was writing about content. So mm-hmm. She was writing an article about content. So when the issue of the magazine came out, she got on this video and she's showing the magazine and she's flipping the pages in the magazine talking about, oh, and here's the publisher of the magazine, Patty Farmer. She's amazing. You know, she's saying all these things and she's flipping the pages until she gets to the one where she is, right? Which was pretty close to the front. And she's telling about that and stuff. And so she's literally sharing how great this magazine is and make sure you read my article on page 16 or whatever it was. And here's how you can subscribe to it. And then she did it. And then she literally tagged everybody else who was in the magazine. We got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people engaging on that. And I think I probably had, I want to say over 1,000 people subscribe to the magazine. And it wasn't even my video.
It wasn't even my video.
And I was like, what a great idea that was.
And sometimes someone else's video is, because then it becomes like an endorsement, right? So that can be really, that's why client testimonials are so important. But I think, you know, a less formal way, and you had started talking about that earlier, that, you know, it's really not about perfect anymore. It's really not about, you know, I mean, and I think you really have to distinguish between being a professional and being perfect, right? So yes, you want to be a professional. If you're the person I'm giving my books to and you're going to do my accounting and tax prep, I don't want to see you being a messy in the background, right? That would freak me out. Or if you are the person who is going to design my beautiful new website, I want to make sure that, you know, your appearance is in a way, you know, pleasant to the eye. So I get a feel that, okay, this person actually, you know, has a sense of design or sense of color.
He understands design and detail.
Yeah, exactly. So you want to be professional, but you don't have to be perfect. So if I flub, and sometimes, you know, I go off on a tangent and then my videos end up not being 90 seconds, but 2 minutes. And I let myself do that because I also am at a point now where everybody knows my videos and, you know, I've established myself. So I'm not the greenhorn anymore who has to be super, super careful to be super short. But, you know, being human and being not perfect is actually something that is very attractive and where other people can see themselves in you. And that's one thing I always say is where video is so brilliant is it attracts the clients that want to work with you, which in turn, more than not, are going to be the people you want to work with them. So
that is so true.
Self-selection. It's a little bit of a self-selection tool.
And I think a lot of that has to do with editing too, because I remember when I started my podcast, I edited it. I would send it and I had somebody who edited it and we edited it. So it was like perfect. Mm-hmm. But then I realized that I didn't want to give the illusion to people who worked with me that if they wanted to have a podcast that they were like, oh my gosh, no, they didn't see themselves that perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Yeah. I wasn't either. We just edited it. Yeah. And that is why now, so if you're listening, we don't edit. Like, this is it. Like, I want you to feel like you're here with us. You're having, it's a conversation. Who edits their conversation? If you were having a conversation with somebody, you're like, oh, wait, let me back that up. Edit that out. Like, you wouldn't do that in a conversation with someone. So no. I don't do it either. So unless somebody, you know, says a swear word or slips and says something that's not appropriate, okay, we'll edit that. But other than that, I don't want to edit that. I want people to know that, guess what? This is a conversation. And whether it is that you want to work with me or the guest that the reason I'm bringing that guest on is because I believe that my audience needs to know them and what their area of expertise is for their business.
Yeah.
Like, I want them to know who that person is. And so I feel like you said, are they my person? Are they the vibe that I am looking for? So I feel like people can over edit as well. And I think that's important. And I have to tell you, it was what I thought was important in the beginning. And I'm kind of over that too. And let's talk about something I know somebody wants to ask. I know you said you don't think it's important. So let's deal with it though, because I think some of my guests are thinking it. So
Okay. Let's
answer it. So while you're saying that what equipment and what is important in your video studios per se that you have to have to get started. So say you haven't got started or you've been dabbling and you're not consistently putting out relevant content. Like, what are the things that they really do need to have? Like, yes, we can do it with our phone now. Most people know that, right? You can do it with your phone. You can do it with this, but really, honestly, like, should they go out and have a green screen and some backdrops? And do they need light on the floors? And like, what is all that? How much of that do they really need?
So it depends. And that's always my favorite answer. So first of all, I think, you know, your smartphone is probably going to be a wonderful camera, better than the one that's built into your laptop and desktop. I've had people have terrible issues with the web cameras because they tend to focus. Like, if you're a hand talker like I am, the camera might focus on your hands and not you anymore. And then you're out of focus. And then it's, you can't manually focus it back to be on your nose and not on your hands. So your smartphone is a great first tool. smartphones of the last, I would say, 3 or 4 years of generations also have a beautiful microphone. Any microphone you will buy for under, let's say, $80 on Amazon is going to be worse than the one that's built into your phone. So don't spend money on a microphone unless you're outside and you have no business being outside, unless you work in construction and you're, you know, or whatever. If you're an accountant, et cetera, a coach, you're at your desk. That's where you're shooting the video. So don't bother with a microphone. Don't bother with a camera. Just use your smartphone. Number one. Number two, and this is something where I do like to spend some time with my clients on, is make sure you have a decent, nice looking background. It can be a blank wall, which is still better than something that's super distracting or weird. Book curated bookshelves can be fun, but they can also send messages that you might not want to send. Or people are like, instead of listening to you, they're like craning their head as they're reading your book titles, you know? So it can work and it cannot work. If you have a bookshelf, you can move away from the bookshelf. So the bookshelf in the background becomes out of focus. And now it becomes a visual thing and not a book A, B, C, D, E. So I think the background is really important to have it be tidy, cleaned up, and pleasant, and most importantly, non-distracting. And if all else fails, a white wall is just fine. Because in the end, you want people to listen to you, right? Lighting is important. So like where I am, mostly I've been blessed with really good daylight, which has advantages and disadvantages. If it's a sunny day with clouds, it can be awful, because if the sun goes behind the cloud, comes out, goes behind the cloud, comes out, you're going to have a video that will look awful, because the lighting on your face will constantly be changing and you'll look green and pale 1 second and totally warm and red the next second. So overcast days are great to shoot for studios that have daylight. And if you don't have a good lighting situation, there's some simple lights. Like I love the Loom Cube. It's small, it's portable. It's not that expensive. It runs on battery for quite a long time, and you can set it to warm light or cold light. So those are, you know, I normally have my clients only invest in a decent tripod and in a light if they need to, especially in the winter, because, you know, our daylight days are so short. So, and that's it for equipment, because the more equipment you bring into your home studio, the more you fiddle, the more it takes, the longer it takes to set up. And then video immediately becomes a chore again. And I don't want it to be a chore. I want it to be like, oh man, I have a great idea. Or, oh, look, I have an hour time. I just did my hair for this podcast I'm on. Let me shoot some video while I'm at it, you know? And then if you can set it up in 5 minutes or less even, or you're just ready to go when you're at your desk, then video becomes something that is just part and parcel, like writing an email or writing a post or, you know, doing any other marketing activities that you do.
I think that makes a lot of sense too. And I know audio is really important. What do you think about those ring lights that everybody, like you can see a million of those too. Do we need to have a ring light? Is it a smaller one? One that goes on our phone, one of those big ones that we can put on everything. I mean, that's the thing that everybody talking about. Oh, do you have a ring light? And do you have a lavalier mic? And do you have like this and that? And I have to tell you, it can be overwhelming thinking about all the things you should or shouldn't have, right? When you are doing it. And where do you sit? Like, where do you stand on scripting? So some people can get really distilted, really distracted from scripting. I kind of bullet point myself to make sure I don't go off. I just kind of care about that. Yep. I will say in the beginning, I did use an old iPad that I have as a teleprompter for a little while. I did that.
Wasn't that a pain in the ass?
Oh, it so was. Yeah. It so was. And you know, it would go, and sometimes it would go too slow, and sometimes it would go too fast. And I was like, oh my goodness, terrible. Right? You know?
Been there, done that. So to answer your first question, I hate ring lights with such a passion. I can't even tell you how much I hate them. Ring lights were designed for makeup people. They were not designed for photography, and they were not designed for video. Unfortunately, if you go on Amazon and you Google lighting for video, that's the first thing that comes up. So ring lights, best case scenario, you don't wear glasses and you'll see the light in your pupils, which I call the alien eyes. worst case scenario, you are wearing glasses and the ring lights show up all over your glasses. I mean, I've seen people use ring lights such that you don't recognize them by bouncing them up to the ceiling or on the wall, but then you don't need a ring light. Then you can just use any old light, right? So for me, again, never will tell my clients to buy a ring light. If they already have one, I'll show them how to use it such that it doesn't show up with and make them alien eyes. So that's my little riff on ring lights. So I much prefer just, as I said, Loom Cube is a great little light that is square and it's dimmable and it's a good investment. And no, I do not have an affiliate deal with them. For your second part of the question, which is the scripting versus bullet points, that's an excellent, excellent point you're making. So we're creating these videos so people will connect with us. If you're scripted, unless you are a professional actor like my partner is, for instance, Robin, he can pull off any script that we write for him and he makes it look like he's coming up with it as he's speaking. I cannot do that. Whenever we shoot videos together, it's a travesty because I forget every other line and we have a lot of fun, but it takes us like a day to shoot three videos. I only bullet point and then just go for it. And some videos I'm fine on take one. And some videos, I've had videos where I've shot 20 takes until I got it. The only exception I make where I am scripted is I have two or three videos on my website I like a lot. And every once in a while I reshoot them, be it that I've got older, you know, whatever, or we're shifting something slightly, or the call to action is not the right one anymore because now we have a quiz and no longer a lead magnet or whatever. And those I script because I want to keep them the same. And I can't get through them in one. I actually have to shoot them in paragraphs. And those I'll just, you know, then have what we edit those professionally, not on our phones. So, but in general, the videos that go on social media, again, they're supposed to be fun and easy and quick. Bullet points, you're the expert. You know what you want to say. What I find to be extraordinarily helpful, and it's something I work on with my clients, is I make sure that they have an intro and an outro. Because just psychologically, from a brain point of view, it puts your brain into gear of, oh, I'm on camera. So I, for instance, have a thing called the Naked Video Series, which was just giving myself permission a year and a half ago to do videos off the cuff. And when I said naked, I meant no makeup on me and no editing, fancy graphics or anything, just a raw video. And I called it naked because, you know, good titles are always good titles. So my Naked Video Series has really, you know, it's just a way to put in content that I come up with that spur of the moment. But because I always say the same introduction, my brain is sort of immediately in shooting mode and it's really helpful. So I always say, like, you know, welcome to the Naked Video Series, where the only thing naked is the video. And by the end, I come to that sentence, I now know what I'm going to say because I've had the time to lead into it. I don't have to go like, I want to talk today about blah, blah, blah. I have that intro. And that is really, I find all my clients who have a nice little sentence intro do really well with their content and find a rhythm to good content much faster.
I love that. So I think that was really a good point. So let's kind of talk about what you talked about earlier when you mentioned the quiz. And I know that you came bearing gifts, right? So tell us a little bit about your gift.
So the gift is a quiz, and we designed the quiz because we wanted people to see where they stand with their video marketing. Because video marketing can be overwhelming. Video marketing can be, it has a couple of moving parts. And the questions are, there's five sections of four questions each. It just gives you a really good baseline of where you are right now in point in time with your video marketing, and shows for you, might actually show up some blind spots for you where you didn't even knew you should be thinking about or worrying about, and you might also have some really nice surprises, right? Like, oh, wow, you know, I'm doing really well on this question, or, you know, in strategy or content, et cetera. So I find it a really nice benchmark. We actually very often use it twice with our clients, once when they start with us, and then again, after they've done a course with us, so they can see how they're, you know, they've come from, you know, maybe 20 points and now all of a sudden they're at 100, right? So they can see how far they've come with their video marketing.
I think it's always kind of nice to know a baseline and then where you end up. I think that's always really nice. In my marketing media money quiz, we do that as well. And I use that a lot with my clients for that same reason, for them to see, because it's always really great to know what you're doing well and maybe where you need to do. So I love that. So this gift is very, very powerful. I suggest every one of you download it. We're going to have the link here for you to be able to get it. But I know you're going to want to connect with Nina. So Nina, how can people connect with you?
So they can connect with me on my website, and that's clockwiseproductions.com.
So productions, plural, clockwiseproductions.com. Perfect. That link will also be below. And so we're come to the point in time here where now this is what I call open mic, my version of social karaoke, where I hand off the microphone to our guests and ask them to share. Well, they have already, Nina has already shared some amazing, amazing content and tips and tactics. But we always want to know, this is the Marketing Media Money Show. So we always want to know, what is your number one marketing, media, or money tip?
So Nina? I hope it's all of it. So I think the best one, and probably no surprise if you've listened to us talk for the last couple of minutes, is to be consistent with your content, video or other, by the way, but you know, video is what we focus on. Because when you're consistent with your content, many benefits, but the three top ones are, only if you are consistent can you measure your return on investment. And then on based on that, can you make changes and adjustments to your content? And lastly, if you're consistent and you're out there with video and people can see you, you can attract your ideal clients. And I think that that is just the single most important thing with video marketing.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. That was a great tip. Nina, thank you so much for being here with me today and really sharing your genius so brilliantly. So I appreciate you so much.
Ditto. And thank you for letting me share my genius. I'm always super excited for these talks because I love talking about what I do. So thank you for that.
And it comes through. So I love that. And we want to thank our sponsors. So the Marketing Media Money podcast and magazine are sponsored by the Exacta Corporation, founder of the Corporate Organizer, More Than a CRM, and award-winning Family Organizer Plus. One busy life, two easy apps. Learn more at exactacorp.com. And would you like a simple answer to the question, where should I focus my time and energy to attract highly qualified ideal clients? Take the Marketing Media and Money assessment, and in 3 minutes or less, you'll know where you're excelling, where you can make a few changes, and what steps to take to achieve massive results. Go to www.m3bizquiz.com. And thank you, everyone, for joining us on the Marketing Media Money podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, and I am sure you did, please subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. So everyone, until next week, make it a phenomenal week. Remember, if your week is not so phenomenal, you have the power to change it.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.